get comfortable. We're going to be here for a few minutes. I'm going to talk about these verses. I want to welcome those of you who are just joining us for the first time or the second time. Welcome to our study or our journey through Paul's letter to the Philippians. We've been on this study for a few weeks now. If you missed any of the sermons, all of them are on YouTube or on our website. So please take the time to listen to them, to these sermons. Now, everyone else who's been with us, we took up, if you remember, last week, we took up one of the main themes of this letter. And namely, that theme is the theme of joy. And last week, we answered a couple of questions, if you still remember, regarding joy. Number one, we answered, what is joy? And number two, how and where does Paul get his joy from, given his circumstances that he was in at the writing of this letter? Remember, the Philippians is one of Paul's prison letters, so he was in chains when he was writing this letter. So how does he get his joy from? Why is one of the main, or probably the main theme of this letter, is joy? Well, in a nutshell, this is what we discussed last week. I said that understanding true Christian joy will help us answer how and why Paul is able to rejoice, even while he was in prison, and even while there were some brothers and sisters who were trying to compete with him outside of prison when it comes to preaching the gospel. They were doing it out of rivalry. They were doing it out of envy. So how is Paul able to rejoice in all of this? Again, if you can still remember, we said that, or I said that joy, the joy that Paul has is a joy that is unbreakable because of his faith in Christ, and how that relationship with joy and faith is what sustains his contentment, so that in any situation he may be in, whether good or bad, Paul is able to rejoice. There is a relationship between faith and joy that Paul has in Christ that is able to sustain his contentment, whether he is in a bad situation or in a good situation, he is able to rejoice. In fact, in chapter 4, he says it, whether he's abundant or whether he's lacking, whether he's hungry, whether he's full, he is able to be content because he has found the secret to contentment, and that is faith and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we were able to reconcile this faith and this joy, and in the same process, get a full understanding of what Christian joy truly is when we looked at the words of Jesus in John 6:35. And again, Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And I said this last week, that this means that whoever comes to Jesus by faith will be satisfied. Not just because in Christ God will satisfy every need that we have, whether physical or spiritual, but in Christ we have this hope of everlasting satisfaction in heaven, where we will finally receive the reward of our faith, namely spending eternity with the object of our faith, and that is Jesus himself. So Paul had this eternal view. Paul, in this verse, in verse 21, in chapter 1, verse 21, Paul had this eternal view or this eternal perspective as the basis of his hope. And this hope that he has is rooted in his faith, or being convinced that Christ is enough, whether here on earth or up there in heaven. That's why for Paul, whether he continues to live in this world or whether he departs and dies and leaves this world, his whole being and life is all about honoring and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's read it again, verse 20 and 21. 20, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage now as always Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. What is Paul's hope and expectation? What's his main goal? What is his passion for life? For Christ to be honored in his body, whether by life or by death. And then he goes on to 21 and says, for or because for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to unpack that statement. The reason why Paul's passion is to honor and to glorify Christ in his body, whether by life or by death. And then he goes on to say the reason for it, right? Because for me to live, Paul says, is Christ, and to die is gain. We'll be unpacking that verse today by looking at what it means to live and to die for Christ from Paul's perspective. And hopefully we can apply it also to our own lives. So we're going to be looking at dying first as gain today, and then hopefully we'll be able to understand that counting death as gain also works as the fuel to live for Christ, okay? This is a two-part session. It's a two-part sermon. This first part, we're going to be dealing with death. And counting death as gain also is the fuel to live for Christ. So today we'll be taking up death as gain, and then next week we'll be taking up what does it look like to live for Christ. So Paul says again, his eager expectation and hope is to honor Christ in his body, whether by life or by his death. Because, or for Paul, to live is to honor, to live is to glorify Christ with his life, and to die is to glorify Christ for eternity. I think that's what Paul's trying to say when he says in verse 21, for me to live is Christ, for me to live is to honor and glorify Christ with my life. As I live, I will honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is trying to say. Or if I die, dying is gain. Why? Because he gets to honor and glorify Jesus Christ for eternity in heaven. So as we can see, Paul's passion, okay, his passion or his goal in life and even in death is the same. Namely, that is to glorify and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, my goal for this morning is for us to see that counting death as gain is what enables a believer to fearlessly live for Christ. Let me say that again. Our goal for this morning, and hopefully I can articulate it enough and explain it enough, my goal for this morning is for us to see that counting death as gain is what enables a believer to live fearlessly for Christ. That's why the title of our message is Fearless Living. Right? So I know that sounds backwards, right? But I think that our text will show that Paul's idea or his understanding of death and dying as gain is what is fueling his obedience to live for Jesus Christ. I hope you can see that this morning with the help of the Holy Spirit. So the key verse for us is found in verse 23. So let's read verse 23. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. You know what? Let's read from verse 22 all the way down to verse 23. Because after Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, he says in verse 22, if I am to live in the flesh, it means fruitful labor for me. Okay? We're going to take that up next week. Okay? That's what Paul is talking about. He's paralleling that to living to Christ. Okay? If I'm to live, Paul says, it's fruitful labor for me. But look what he says next. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. And then verse 23 says, I'm hard pressed between the two, between living and dying. What's his desire? My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. So for Paul, if he was given a choice between living and dying, he gave us his choice. His choice, his desire is to depart, to die. For Paul, dying is gain, right? Because only in and through death can Paul depart this world so that he could be with Christ. And for Paul, that is, just like what he says, it's far better. So much better than this life on earth that Paul had a desire to depart. He had a desire to die. If I was to ask people listening right now, who here has a desire to die? I don't think anybody will raise their hands because it is uncommon for a regular human being to say that they want to die. But for Paul, it's a desire. And the word that's used there for desire, in one commentary, it says this. David Guzik comments, "It is strong to say, but one must say that Paul in some way wanted to die. In fact, desire describes a strong longing." And then he goes on and quotes Spurgeon. Spurgeon says, "He said he had a desire to depart, and a desire was a strong one. The Greek word has much force in it. He panteth, he longeth to be gone." If you remember that verse, "As the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for," or "so my soul thirsts for thee." That panting, that longing is like an intense thirst for water, as far as that verse is, as far as that psalm is concerned. But for Paul, it's a longing for death. He has a death wish, so to speak. Right? But here's the thing with Paul's death wish, okay? If you think about it, yes, not a lot of people will say, "I want to die," or "I have a desire to die," especially a death wish like Paul here. But there are some people who has a death wish for Paul, like Paul. People commit suicide, they have a death wish. But here's the thing that we have to be careful of. When we talk about Paul having a death wish, is not because of escapism, and it's not because of fatalism. Okay, let's discuss those two. Paul's death wish is not because of escapism. He does not want to escape this world. It's not like he hates this world, right? That's why he just wants to get out of it. There's some people who are like that, that this world is falling apart. This world is, you know, nothing's happening right for me. Let me just get, you know, out of here. And how the only way to get out is not to go to Mars. That's in 2023, by the way. If you want to go to Mars, there's a sign-up sheet somewhere on the internet. But you'll still be within the universe. You'll still be alive. If you really want to depart and get away from all the stuff that's going on in this world, some people think that the only solution is to die. That's escapism. That's not why Paul desired to die. Some people desire to die because of fatalism. And this is the other warning that I'm going to give you this morning. We can't look at Paul's desire to die and think about it as fatalism. What does fatalism mean? It means that, you know what, I'm going to die anyway, so that's it. I'm not going to take care of my body. I'm going to eat whatever I want. I'm not going to recycle. I don't care about this world. This world is going to be destroyed anyway. That's a fatalistic mentality. That's not why Paul wanted to die. That's not why Paul had this longing or this thirst to die. Paul's longing or desire to die is because he wants to be with Christ. Because for him, Christ is everything. That's why he says, if I live, I live for Christ. If I die, it's gain because I get Christ. So Paul didn't want to escape, you know, because think about it. He's in prison. He's having a hard time. He might even get tortured. Who knows? So for Paul, some people might think, oh man, maybe his desire to die is to get out of prison so that he doesn't have to go through all that torture and all this, you know, hardships that he's going through or he has gone through. No, that's not it. It's not escapism for Paul, and it's not fatalism for Paul. That's why the reason why he wants to die. For Paul, the reason why he wants to die is because he wants to be with Christ, that his desire, his longing for Christ is so intense that for him, dying is gain, right? He wants Christ so bad that even if it meant dying, he would be willing to trade. I would trade my life just to be with Christ. And Paul says what? It is far better. And if you think about it, that makes Paul fearless when it comes to dying. If Paul was with you right now, if Paul was in here right now and I asked, who here wants to die? Paul would raise his hand. No question. Why? Because his reason for dying is great. His reason for dying is because he finally gets that reward that he's been longing for. He's going to finally see with his own eyes what he only sees by faith here in this world. That's why for Paul, dying is gain. And again, this fearlessness of man's greatest adversary speaks volumes of when it comes to Paul's faith, right? Paul is fully convinced by faith that Jesus is his greatest treasure, that Jesus is his greatest satisfaction, that he's willing to spend his life to have him. Spurgeon once said, and again, bato-bato sa langit, tamay, wag magagalit. Okay? When men fear death, it is not certain that they are wicked, but it is quite certain that if they have faith, it is in a very weak and sickly condition. When men fear death, it is not certain that they are wicked, but it is quite certain that if they have faith, it is in a very weak and sickly condition. Let me ask again, who here is not afraid of dying? Okay, forget one to die, but is not afraid of dying. As Christians, we shouldn't be, right? Because by faith, we know and we have this hope that when we die, that's the beginning of eternal life with God, together with the Lord Jesus Christ. But if our faith is, just like what Spurgeon says, is weak and sickly, we don't want to die. We want to keep prolonging our life here. Not that we shouldn't. Not that we should, again, when we talk about dying, don't think fatalistically and don't think escapism. So when I say that, you know, us wanting to die or Christians having no fear of death doesn't mean that we don't take care of our lives here. Doesn't mean you shouldn't take care of your body. You shouldn't take care of, you know, your job or whatever it is that you have to do to live here on earth. But if you are afraid of death, then it says something about our faith and our hope. Don't you believe that once we die, we get to receive what it is that we've been hoping for? We get to receive the gift that has been promised to us by faith. And I think that's what Spurgeon is saying here. But if you look at Paul's life, okay, it's the opposite. Paul's faith, he is so convinced that Christ will be at the end of the road when he dies. And that when he gets there and he finally gets to be with Christ, that's it. It's enough. It means the world to him. That he's willing to just, let me die now. Right? That talks a lot about his faith. And again, faith in Christ is being satisfied in who Jesus is. And so it talks about a lot about Paul's faith. Paul's faith is firm and his convictions are solid, and it shows in his fearlessness when it comes to death. So we can say that Paul's longing for death or his desire to die definitely says that he's totally convinced by faith that Jesus is worth dying for. That Jesus is worth dying for. And I believe that longing for the day of his death and longing forward to dying is what gave Paul the confidence to not just continue the work Jesus has commissioned for him, but also to be able to rejoice in the midst of the trials and tribulations that he will be facing along the way. What is it that fuels Paul's joy? It is that hope that he has in Christ, that even if he dies here on earth, in fact, he is welcoming death, so to speak. That even if he dies here on earth, he has Jesus to look forward to. And that, for Paul, is enough. And having that kind of mentality enables Paul to rejoice, no matter what the circumstance is. And again, we can look at that as the same way that Jesus approached the cross. Check out Hebrews 1 and 2. This is how Jesus approached the cross. Hebrews 1 and 2 says what? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2. How do we run with endurance the race that is set before us? And this is talking about a marathon race. There will be pains, there will be trials, there will be hardships in a marathon race. How do we overcome? Especially when sin in this world is clinging close. In fact, there's like a chain on us while we're running this marathon. How do we overcome? It says in verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the what? The joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What enabled Christ to endure the cross? The joy that was set before him. The fact that when he does this, after his mission here on earth, first of all, the Father will be glorified because of the lives that will be saved. And second, he gets to be with his Father again. He gets to sit at the right hand of the throne of God again, where he was supposed to be from the beginning. But because of his humility, because of his love for us, he came down and died on the cross. But then, after death on the cross, or before even the death on the cross, what enabled him to go through that, knowing that he was going to die on the cross? Remember the story when he was praying in the garden? And the Passion, the movie The Passion showed this vividly, that he was sweating blood. Why? Was he afraid of the cross? No. He was afraid because the wrath of God was going to be upon him, and he was going to be apart, separated from his Father because of sin. How did he overcome that? How did he say at the end, even though, yeah, Lord, take this cup from me, but at the end he said, what? Let your will be done. How did he get to that point? Hebrews 12:2 tells us, for the joy that was set before him, because he was looking forward to glorifying God on the cross, and at the same time looking forward to sitting at the right hand of the throne of God and be reunited with his Father again. That's how Jesus endured the cross. Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him, because he knew that obedience to the Father will bring about salvation for mankind and ultimate glory for the Father. And this anticipation of victory brought joy to Christ, and this joy enabled him to endure the horror of the cross. I believe it's the same thing for Paul. Paul counting death as gain, because in death, Paul will finally gain Christ. He will finally see Christ, not just by faith, but by his own eyes. Christ, and counting Christ as his great reward, is what enabled Paul to rejoice and be content in all circumstances. And it's also the fuel to help him overcome any obstacle that will stand in his way, as he goes and obeys God's call for him, right? And this attitude of, again, fearlessness when it comes to losing his life has enabled Paul to obey, even at the risk of dying, and still come out rejoicing. And at the root of this fearless attitude, again, is faith in the sufficiency of Christ. Faith that sees Christ as the greatest treasure worth dying for. And it is also in this hope that Paul will live his life for Christ. Despite the risks, despite the opposition, despite the pain and the suffering that he experienced. After all, if and when death comes, it's what Paul has been longing for to begin with, right? So think about Paul's mentality again. Paul's mentality is, I have a desire to die. Not because of escapism, not because he's fatalistic. I have a desire to die so that I can be with Christ. That longing for Christ is what gave him the desire or longing to die. That's the only way he could get there, right? I'm saying that this hope that he has in Christ because of his faith in the sufficiency of Christ, because he's convinced that Christ is enough, is also what drove him to obedience to Christ while here on this world, even at the risk of dying, right? Because again, for Paul, there's no more fear in death, right? So he's able to freely just obey Christ no matter the risks. Now, let me note this. He didn't go around looking for risks. He didn't go around looking for trouble, okay? But in his obedience, trouble found him, right? But for Paul, hey, it doesn't matter. If trouble finds me, I die. If I die, it's gain. I get to be with Christ. If I don't die, I get to continue to live for Christ here in this world, to continue to glorify him, taking whatever risks that he has to take. And again, if that leads to death, then so be it. When you look at that kind of mentality, that fearlessness of dying because of his faith that Christ is sufficient, that Christ is enough, is what enabled Paul, pushed Paul, fueled Paul to obey no matter what the cost. As long as he obeyed and glorified God in his life. Right? If you think about that, think about all the countless others, other followers of Jesus Christ who had this same mindset. And because they counted dying as gain because of their hope in Christ, they obeyed and spent their lives for the glory of God. Countless missionaries are going through that every day, going through, you know, the difficult call of missions to go to a place where the gospel is illegal, that the risk of death is high. Countless people come to Christ knowing that their own family will kill them. Why? Why would they do that? Because for them, hey, if I die, gain. If I live, I live to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. Let me close with this quote from C.S. Lewis. And I quote, "Hope is one of the theological virtues. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next." Let me read that again. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were the ones, or were just those, who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves, who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied in heaven. You want to make a big difference here on earth? Set your mind to heaven. Because when you do, and in your faith, believe that whatever is coming to us that is in heaven is enough, and that namely is the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be freed to risk your life no matter what consequences are, no matter if you have to go through trials and tribulations here on earth in obedience to him. That's how you make a difference here on earth. That's how these men made a difference here on earth. That's how the apostles made a difference, right? That's how those who abolished the slave trade made a difference, because they were focused on heaven, because their minds were set in eternity, that whatever it is that they had to do here in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory, they did. even if it meant death. And again, because for them, and for the Apostle Paul, and hopefully for some of us, death is gain. Right? Now, question is, what about us? What is our motivation? What is our fuel when it comes to our obedience? Is it temporary rewards here on earth? Or are we looking forward to what we have in heaven in hope? Right? Is our faith strong enough to count death as gain? And in doing so, be freed to live a life for Christ no matter what the cost. Is that where we are right now? I'm always joking with my wife. You know, when me and her talk, I'm always joking with her. Oh, you know what? I feel like I'm going to die early. I feel like I'm going to, you know, leave this world early. And I always ask her, will you marry again? She's like, no. I've learned my lesson. But sometimes I do think about that stuff. I think about, you know, dying and death and how great it would be up there to not wake up and have all the troubles and all the tribulations and all the, you know, whatever it is that's, you know, all my aches and pains, to have that all gone in heaven. I do think about that stuff, but I think for me right now, it's a form of escapism. It is not because, you know, I truly treasure Christ that the way Paul does. I'm afraid I'm not there yet, but I'm praying to God that I do get there so that my wishful thinking of death will be just like the Apostle Paul's, not the way that I'm currently doing it right now, because, again, it's a form of escapism. I just want to get away from gout. I want to get away from dieting. I want to get away from all the troubles that are in this world. But for Paul, again, that is not the case. For Paul, to die is gain, because he will finally receive the object of his faith, the person whom he counts as the most valuable in this universe. And I pray to God that one day we will see Christ in that same manner. So, although some of us do now, I pray that, you know, we continue to grow in the knowledge of Christ, to see Christ as the most valuable treasure in this universe, that nothing in this world, nothing, no pleasure, no happiness that this world can offer will ever even come close to the, you know, to the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ and to his value when it comes to being the greatest treasure. And I pray for that. I pray for that for myself. I pray for that kind of faith. I pray for that kind of faith for those of you who are listening. And I hope that, just like the Apostle Paul, we'll be able to say, you know what, for me, yeah, to die is gain. Maybe I don't want death as much as Paul does. But if ever God decides to take me, even right now, to die is gain because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his worth. That he's worth dying for. So that's what it means. That's what Paul meant when he said to die is gain, and that that's his fuel to live for Christ. For me to live is Christ. The fuel for that is that mentality, that way of thinking, that dying is gain because of the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, next week, we're going to be taking up that first part of verse 21. To live is Christ. What does that mean? What does that look like? And again, how is this fuel of hope in Christ, even in death? How does it fuel living for Christ here on earth in obedience? Hope to see you next week for that one.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The